July is our family and marriage and relationship series, kind of hitting every different. Have you guys enjoyed it so far, the Built to Last series? Have you enjoyed July so far? I've had an awesome time just in each week. And I preached the first one, but then the second week we had the three couples up here just giving advice and practical biblical knowledge. And then last week with Joe McGee, we've just been moving through these different kind of areas of relationships, areas of marriages, of families. And I said at the beginning of the series that the problem sometimes is, maybe we don't hit everybody with a marriage series. Or maybe we don't hit everybody if we just speak on parenting. But we've tried to craft each week to have something for everyone. And today is no different. And so we want you to be able to apply this no matter where you are in life, what your relationship status is. I guarantee you something will speak to you. Something will apply to your life. And honestly, today, most of it will, because today we're going to talk about communication. And that's not just in marriages, although I will speak to that in some way. It's not just in parenting, although we'll speak to that, but it's in every relationship that you have. Whether it's in the workplace or it's in your family or it's in your extended family, wherever it is, we're just going to talk about communication, how we can improve together. We have the series verse. I'm going to read it from Proverbs 24. And it says it takes, and everybody say this word with me, it takes wisdom to have a good family. So in other words, it takes understanding. It takes something more than just your earthly understanding. Because, you know, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord, you know, this is the beginning of wisdom. So it takes something more than just what we have in our own selves. It takes something from heaven in order to have a good family. And it takes understanding to make it strong. And so we've been talking from this idea that we want to have relationships. We want to have families. We want to have marriages that are built to last for the long haul. Not just flash in the pan, not just passion, not just, and we want those, but we want it for the long term. We want something that's going to last. And so the idea of the whole series is that you can have marriages and relationships and family. You can have these relationships that will last, but you probably will not if you follow the world's blueprint for it. You have to have a biblical understanding of relationships. You have to have a biblical understanding. You can have parenting that works. You can have marriages that work if you follow God's plan for it. If you take a different approach. So Romans chapter 12, this is our verse for today. Romans 12. And it just talks about don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. So don't go ahead. And if there's anywhere in your life, any area that you should not copy, it's in your relationships. If there's anywhere that you should not copy the customs of this world or the behavior of this world, it's in your relationships. It's in your marriages. It's in your families. It's in the way that you parent your kids. Any relationship you have at work, the way that you treat people, if there's anywhere that you cannot copy, that you should not copy the world, it's in those relationships. And so it goes on to say, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. So this is the good news, all right? This is the good part of the verse. Because the religion says, okay, here's the Bible, and just get it done, all right? Here's the set of rules, just get it done. Work, 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 do it. Come on, get your rules in order and do them. But God says, no, let me give you the rules. Let me give you the outline. Let me give you the principles of how to live. And then let God transform you the way that you think, the way that you are, so that you can do it. All right? That is, if you get nothing else this morning, that is the biggest part of Christianity that I think some people miss. Is that it's not just God handing down something to you and then saying, okay, get it done. It's God saying, okay, I'm going to come inside of you. I'm going to give you the power to do what I am teaching you to do. If you want that in your, you can have a parenting relationship with your kids. You can have a marriage that's built to last. God says, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to change the way that you think. And then you can do it. So if you feel discouraged, you say, I can't. God's saying, I know you can't, but I can change you. I can transform you and make it where you can. And so if you can't get anything else, that's what I want you to have inside of you. And we're going to talk about that next month as well as we go into this month of prayer. And the series is about prayer and spiritual warfare and just seeking God. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about God transforming us being able to connect with Him. So like I said, if you want something to happen in your life, you're trying to get over a hurdle, you want God to transform something, these 21 days of prayer can just be a godsend to you in every sense of the word. So I just want to encourage you for that. By the way, this is what makes the last part of today so important, or the most important part of this morning, in that we can give you something. Because here's my job today, all right? I can't change your life. All right? I don't know if that's just a revelation to you or you know this. I can't change your life. A guest speaker can't change your life. Anybody speaking can't change. All I can do is kind of give you to say, all I can do is try to change your way of thinking, and then God's going to transform you. God can transform the inside of you. I never come up here thinking that I've got the points that are going to really do it today, all right? I never come up here thinking, God can transform you. I can give you as much as I can. I can pray and study, but God does the transformation work. You want something built to last. You got to let God transform you. You got to do something different than the way that the world does it. And so we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for our lives and our families and our marriage. We're going to believe God to do that work inside of you. Amen, everybody? All right, you're with me. You're with me this morning. All right, let's jump in. And this is why we always say, by the way, this is why I always say, give us a year of your life. Give us a year, like, just do, be in a small group, go to the growth track, be in the worship service, not just to attend things, but to experience it. And let God start to work through. I guarantee you'll be different. All right. In Romans, though, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. So you change the way of thinking, you let God transform, and you'll start to learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And a lot of us, let me say it this way, you'll have what God intended for your marriage. If you let this happen, you let transformation happen and you change your way of thinking, you'll have what God intended for your family, what he intended for your relationships at work, what he intended for you to live as. And a lot of us don't have that. And some of you say, well, it's only, you know, a pie in the sky kind of dream. No, God has this for you. Just listen to that. Don't let it kind of pass over your head. God has this for you to live out in your life. That you can have a marriage that is pleasing to you. You can have a relationship with your kids that works. You can have a relationship with your parents that works. So we're going to talk about an area I think that I relate to the most out of this whole series for this month. All right. Or let me put it this way. This is the one that convicted me the most. All right. Of any of the topics that we're going to talk about. We've gone through a few things this month and we've hit a lot of things at the marriage conference. But this one speaks to me the most in a self-convicting kind of way. All right, so if you feel convicted this morning, know that I'm feeling it 10 times up here. As I was preparing for this message, as I went over each point, I just got more and more. Like, I didn't want to finish. I didn't want to, you know, continue it. I just, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving this for other people. You know, thank you, God, that we can, this is the one that's most real. We're going to talk about our words. We're talking about our words. And I'm a words guy. I like to speak. Speaking is something I do around here quite a bit. It's just part of it. And I don't think I'm the best communicator. I don't put myself in the upper echelon at all. But I do communicate. And anything that you can do fairly well, you can also use for evil. You can also use badly. And I have done that. I have used my words. I've had heated things where I just wish, you know, ever come out, you just wish you could grab them. They were just physical things. You could just grab them and pull them back in. And so some of us, I know some of us, are challenged firstly with that, me more than any, are challenged about the words that we speak, the way that we communicate. And I want to be better here. And one of the reasons maybe that we're not saying what we should be saying, what we know we should be saying, is again because of the world's culture. Because of what we see around us, because of what the norm is, because it has become, let me see how I'm going to put it. It has become so vile and vicious and vulgar in the way that we talk to each other in this world. And I'm not talking about particular words. I'm not trying to harp on that. I'm talking about the way that we use words. Has become just, I'm not sure what it is. Have you watched any event or any, it doesn't have to be political or otherwise, any event at the city level, the state, national, on TV, anything like that, where people have to talk to each other? Have you seen these? It could be a debate or it could be a council meeting or it could be anything. You see where people have to talk to one another. And the way that they do it, the way that the world uses words, is just, it's, I don't even have a side and I'm just mad at everybody on it. Just the way that they treat each other. Just the way that people feel like, and I don't know, what is that? That we still feel so free and you try to make it online, you try to make a comment, you know, but you're going to get annihilated, right? Just don't even go there. I don't watch a lot of my news on TV, right? I usually get or watch it online or do it. You know those comment sections underneath it, right? Like don't even go there lest you be defiled, right? It's just, it's incredible the way that we treat each other. And so what is that? Why do we feel the freedom to just tear each other apart? Everybody who's got, don't even go. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous place to be where we feel free to annihilate another human being. I think we've dehumanized it. I think we've taken the person out of the equation. I think we don't see them as a human anymore. And I thought of a way to illustrate this to you guys. And I'm going to tell you a story from a couple of years ago, but this happens quite, I'm sure you've been through this. All right. So a few years ago, friends and I were going through a toll road into New York City. All right. And it's madness. It was kind of high traffic time. And so we're just kind of going along and we get through the toll booth and it goes from 8 lanes down to 5. Like almost instantly. And you know what happens when you merge. If you don't merge quick enough, right, you're stuck. Right? If you don't make that move, we're in one of the lanes that disappeared. If you don't make that move, or you're coming out of somewhere, you're trying to turn right, and you're stuck, right? And what do you try to do? You try to catch the eye of the person, right? Who, you know, says, please let me in. And right, and what are the people did? Like, they're just, you know, like, no, they're not gonna let you into their world, right? They're not looking at you. They're not there. So I'm driving, right? It's my friend's car. So I can't like take all the liberties, just get my nose out there, right? And so we're trying to catch the eye of the people next to us and nobody's looking at us. And so we finally come to a standstill. And if you ever tried to merge, if you come to a standstill, you've lost, right? It's over. You're not getting in. You might as well just get out and walk. And so we're looking at these people like just, and I'm just trying to catch somebody's eye. Just look at me. I am a human. And so we look, and so finally this car with these University of Pennsylvania stickers on the window pulls up, and I'm trying to look, and it's this guy and his girlfriend in the right seat, all right? And the guy's driving, and of course the guy's just, but I caught the eye of the girlfriend, right, in this like, dear Lord, please help me kind of way, right? Just like I, just, you know, just trying to do all the gestures you do, just kind of thing. And so she like taps the guy, and he doesn't, the guy like he won't look. And she finally, she's hitting him a little bit harder, and I'm just playing. And finally, he's like, ah, you know, just get one of those. Just come on. And so what happened there? For a second, to that girl, to that princess of the Most High God, that precious daughter of God, and to her, I became a human. I became a person again. Up to that point, I was just a car. And I don't know, maybe just as we go along in the world, in our words, we've dehumanized people, and we've taken them down. We've taken the person out of it, and we've gotten so vicious. I don't know what has happened. I don't know, but it's not okay. It's not okay for us to do it, especially in our homes. All right. Stay with me this morning. All right. It's not okay for us to begin to dehumanize and then just say, well, I can say whatever I want because this is just what it's not okay in our homes. And I'm telling you, we're all replaying, all right? I know I preached something like this. I did it when I was prepping for the message. We're all replaying things that we said, maybe on your ride to church this morning, all right? Or maybe you didn't let somebody in on your way to church this morning. Or we're replaying things that we said during the week. And there is healing for that. There is forgiveness for that. But we need to change. There is forgiveness. We can leave the past. God will forgive us. But we've got to change the way that we talk. We got to change the way that we treat other people. We got to change the way we treat our spouses and our families. We got to kind of understand that what we're doing hurts others. So here's what I want to do this morning. All right. We're transformed by our thinking. So I just want to go through, and these are quick. I'll give you these. If you want them, I'll print them out for you, send them to you. If you take notes, you know, you're going to be kind of busy this morning, but I just want to kind of understand communication first. All right. I want to come at it from that perspective. We talked a little bit at the Ignite Marriage Conference on this. And so I kind of want to go a little deeper into some of these ideas. But the first one, all right, I didn't come up with these. These are researchers who study human behavior. These are the four levels of communication. So first we understand our communication, and then we understand what we can do with it. So the four levels, the first one, right, is just the surface communication. So this is just on the surface. This is the land of cliches, right? All right, how are you doing? Fine, and you, right? This is the cliche. We're not actually trying to communicate here. We're just, I don't know, we're just trying to get it out of the way or something. This is surface. And sometimes we just nod. Some of you just say, we don't even have words for just how you, Right, you're passing somebody in the hallway. Like, what is the protocol in your office building for if you see the person twice in the same day or three times in the same day, right? You can't do the same cliche, so you nod or you do, or, you know, lovely weather, and you just keep on trucking. But, you know, this is surface communication, but you got to get deeper than this. So it's not good enough. It's not good enough for Built to Last. Not good enough for our families. Next one is general information. A lot of people are here. A lot of families, marriages are here where you're just passing off information. Johnny's got a test this week. Make sure he studies. I'm going to be late from work. Dinner's at 5. I'm going to have this. I'm going to go work out. I'm doing, a lot of us are doing that in our families and our marriages where we're just passing off information. You're kind of giving a real communication though, if you can probably guess, doesn't come at these two. There's something more. Because who has a list with only two things in it, right? So you have to go to a deeper level. So number three, come on, let's go back to this one. Sorry, back to these deep feelings. All right, you come into these deep feelings. And so I want to help you guys this morning, all right? I've tried to come up with different things to help you in your communication or in the way that you do. And so I wrote down a few things. I wrote down a few ideas that I thought might help you. And I came back through them. And as I go through this message, I'll help you. But this one is, I want to give you the number one thing that you can use at this level. The number one, I'll put them, the four most romantic words that you can say to your wife. And we put them up there once already, but I just want to give this to you. Guys, you can write this down, all right? Here's the four most romantic words, and then what happened? Guys, I'm helping you this morning, all right? Ladies, you just clop up your ears, do whatever you want to do, all right? We didn't give you it at the marriage conference. This is free this morning for you, all right? And then what happened? Your wife, you can then pick her up the floor and then continue the conversation, right? Your wife will always, I don't care if she knows that you're going to do this, she will always be shocked when you ask for more information than she was already willing to give you. Amen? All right. If you, and then what happened? And you can change up the phrasing of it. And then what? And just, what? They did that. They didn't do that. Just, I'm trying to help you this morning. All right. This is the most practical. Write this down for you. We have to just let them, okay, amen, all right, here we go. That's funny, I don't care who you are, all right, that's funny. They always want to, and I want to relieve a little tension here because this is something that we have to get to a deeper level. And that's number three, that is deep feelings. So let's go back, number three is deep feelings. All right, so this is a deeper level we have to get to. And here's what I've learned about feelings, all right? Feelings are not always right, but they're always real. The feelings that you have, and oftentimes you will have feelings, and the person that is having them knows that they're not right. But I still have them. I'm still experiencing that. I'm still feeling that. And a lot of us, we don't have a safe place that we can do that. Even in our own homes, we don't have a place where we can express our feelings because we feel like if we do, we'll just be corrected from it. And so on this level of deep feelings, we have to create spaces where it's okay to express those. Even though they may not be right, I know that they're real. We need to have a place where we can express it. And so instead of coming at it from an idea of accusation where, well, you always and you never and you did and this, you say, well, when this happens, it makes me feel. And nobody can say anything against that. Nobody can argue with that because it is true. Feelings are not always right, but they're always real. And so the most effective marriages have that place where you can share that. And then ultimately you get to a place where you share deep needs. The best marriages have a way that you can express your feelings and your needs. So that is, okay, what are your deepest needs and how can I do that for you? And this applies to anything. This goes to any relationship, anything, but I want to speak just to marriages for a second where you can say, I have these needs. And then your spouse can say, I have these needs. And you see how you're going to meet each other's deep needs. This is so important. Don't gloss over this. And when we were preparing for the marriage conference, I was listening to some experts in marriage counseling and in different fields regarding that. One of the things that stood out to me, one of the guys said that he had done 30 years of marriage counseling. And he said one of the tools that he used is he would get him in a room and he would just ask the husband, okay, write down your five deepest needs that your wife can fulfill for you. And then he would have the wife write down what she thought they were. And then he'd do the other half and he'd have the wife write down her five deepest and have the husband. And he said, not in 30 years did any couple have the same list. Not in 30 years. And he said, most of the time, they didn't even have one of the other's deepest needs that they could list or label that they were fulfilling for them. And it is so important. And guys, I told you, now I am more convicted than any of you. But it is so important in a relationship or in a marriage that you are able to identify those. You're able to say, okay, what are those needs? That there is a place where they can express those. And it's possible to learn them. It's possible to learn then how to communicate. And so we've looked at the four levels, but then let's look at the four barriers. Because if there are levels, there are barriers to communication. And so these are a couple of researchers out of the University of Denver did a 20-year study. And they came up with, they said, these are the four barriers of communication. And they went as far as to say these were the number one or number two cause of divorce in every relationship that they had studied that had ended in divorce. They said that these were the barriers. And so the first one is withdrawal. All right. And that is most people's tendency to either shut the whole thing down. Like, that's it. That's the last word. Say no more. They say, or you're so frustrated with the process, you just withdraw from it. Or a physical withdrawal. A physical way, okay, that's the old silent treatment, right? That is every marriage don't lie to me. Every marriage in this room has done the silent treatment. Alyssa and I have done the silent treatment. And what is so important about the silent treatment is you don't want to lose. Right? You can't like you're on that side of the bed, right? You just got your side, like, cause like even if a foot touches, you lose. Right? You've done this. Don't lie to me, all right? You can't lose the game. What are we doing to each other here, right? There was a couple, I love this story. I read about a couple that were doing the old silent treatment to each other, right? And the husband didn't want to lose the game, but they were about to go to bed and he needed to get up at 5 a.m. Had a flight out, had to leave the house at 5 a.m. So he didn't want to lose the game though, right? So he wrote a little note and put it where she would brush her teeth in the morning, just said, hey, look, I've got to get up at 5, just wake me up. But he didn't want to lose, right? So he just put that note where she brushed her teeth. So he went to bed and sure enough, he woke up at 9 a.m., right? Missed his flight, looked over there at his nightstand, hey, wake up, it's 5 a.m., little note for him right there. Just. Men, you are not equipped for such battles, all right? You just don't even... Don't even try to go there. That's funny. I don't care what you. So then the second stage, second barrier to communication, escalation, right? This is where we get loud. This is like people's go-to, right? Some of you, this is your, this is where we just get loud. We just start to shout. And let me tell you, it doesn't work anyways. Because you can get as loud as you want, you can get your way, but if the heart doesn't receive it, you still lose. You can get as loud as you want and get your way in that situation. But if that person, if it's just, you're just getting your way that, you still lose. If you're building something to last, you still lose. It's escalation of the work. And I read another piece, I almost didn't bring this one to you. I read another piece of research and I didn't have time to look into their parameters or how they structured it. But I like the premise that we're going to go with it. It said that if a man's heartbeat goes above 100 beats per minute in an argument or in a fight, he starts to lose ability for rational thought. You get what I'm saying? If his heartbeat raises above 100 beats per minute, he starts to lose the ability to have her. Like, don't even, you might as well just check out, right? Like, don't even try to, you know, just, you lose the ability for rational thought. It's not going to work right there, all right? I just help somebody out there, all right? I just help somebody. And the third one is they move on. Next stage is belittling. That's where you move, where your words start to hurt. So you didn't say anything in withdrawal. You started to raise your voice in the escalation. And now the belittling phase starts. It's a barrier to actual communication. Remember what this list is. And this is where you start to... And this is basically me saying, okay, well, I've already lowered myself to be in this ridiculous fight to begin with. So now instead of raising myself back up, which I don't want to do, I'm just going to belittle you and try to track you down to where I am. I'm just going to try to hurt you. And by the way, this is why... People are so critical. It's an insecurity thing where people are so insecure that then they've got to drag you down to where they are. They've just got to lash out. They've lost the ability for rational thought. Everything else isn't working, so they're just going to lash out and try to bring you down. This is why people are so stinking critical. And it's amazing to me. You've seen these threads, whether it's on social media, on Facebook, these threads with 5,000, 10,000 people commenting. And then there's comments under the comments and people are just tearing each other apart. And what's amazing to me, and you might not know this, and I don't know, I'll throw this out there to you. When you go in there and you think you're hitting, 5,000 comments deep, and you're just wailing on somebody, just going off, just letting out all your frustrations in this belittling type of phase. What you might not know though, Facebook has this great feature. If you're friends with somebody and they start going down in those comments 3,000, 4,000 deep, they put them at the top for you. They put that comment. So you think you're hidden down there. Everybody who knows you has you front and center. Sees you. I just helped somebody right there. All right. I just spoke something into somebody's life. Somebody's going home to deactivate something, right? We all see you. We all see the way you're treating that person. Amen right there. All right. I'm just speaking. I'm speaking to hearts this morning. I got you. Right. But we go into this belittling and it's not okay in our homes. The way that we speak to each other. There was a couple driving down the road, out in the country in the car, and they're just hurting each other, right? They're just hurling phrases, just talking, just unsaved things, just saying, just trying to, and so they're driving, and he's finally going, and they pass by this farm with some pigs and goats, and he thinks he's gonna throw out one more little quip at her, right? He said, relatives of yours? She said, yep, in-laws. So men, you are not equipped for such battles as these. You can't win those fights. Fourth one this morning. That's funny, I don't care. False belief. Fourth one this morning is very dangerous, all right? This is the one I kind of wanted to finish on for this list, in that false belief, in that it becomes demonic. And I don't want to overstate that. I don't want to kind of, you know, think, ooh, it becomes demonic. The Bible says in John, it says that the devil is the father of lies and all lies. So when you get to a place where you start believing things that aren't true, you start believing lies, you start saying things that aren't true. And it's unbelievable how you can say something that's not true, and then suddenly it becomes a reality. The more you say it, the more you fixate your mind on it. And things that aren't true become realities in your marriage and in your relationships. Things that aren't even true become barriers between you. And this is, again, this is where the devil works the hardest to drive a wedge when it comes to false belief. Things that you didn't even happen become realities in it. So what then do we do about all this? What do we do about it? In the Bible, we take a different approach, right? We learned that in Romans. We take a different approach. The Bible is not silent. Jesus is not silent. Especially though in the Proverbs in the Bible, there are just hundreds of verses on the power of the tongue and what we do to tame it and how we take control of our words. And so we're going to look at a few of those in different categories today. We're just going to go through these fairly quickly, and we're going to start to change our way of thinking, all right? You're with me so far? We're going to start to change the way that we think. And Jesus, when he was speaking about it, he starts it off if you're taking notes in John, but he starts it off talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He says the worst thing that someone can do, he says that God himself can't even forgive this sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we're not studying that this morning, all right? That's not what the study of this. So if you're nervous right now, you're thinking you just can't hear anything else, you're just hearing that, or you're thinking, I promise you, you wouldn't be in this room if you had. You would not be sitting here if you had. Your conscience would be so seared. You would be. But what I want to do, what I'm trying to do this morning, is add weight to this topic. And Jesus was adding weight because he goes on after he said it. So if the worst sin that you can commit is the blasphemy of, so it is a sin of the mouth that you can commit. If it is that, then he goes on to say, and it's not a coincidence that he has this order, but he talks about that. And so then he says, right after that, every one of you is going to give an account for every word that you speak. And you say, well, that's a tough. Jesus said, I want to read it to you out of the Message because I like the way that it words this. If I could just give you some advice, I love the Message Bible. I love some of these translations. I think use them if they word it beautifully, use them for that. But don't use them as your study Bible, all right? So I just want to put that out there. I've used some of these and I've been wanting to say that. Don't use that as your study Bible. Find a text that is truer to the translation. But sometimes they hit it out of the park with some of the commentaries and some of the things. So I wanted to read this to you. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Let me start it right there. Every word that you say is like a seed that goes in the ground and germinates. And there will be fruit from it. So examine your words. See what you're planting and what you're going to reap. See what you're planting and what you're going to reap. And then it says there will be a time of reckoning. It's capitalized there because in the ESV and the rest, it says there's a day of reckoning or a day of judgment for the words that you speak. They will come back where you will have to give an account of every word that you say. I can't add more. I don't know how to make it a bigger deal than that, because it's bigger than anything I can say. The importance of our words, of what we say to one another. And there is forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. There is forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. But you give an account, because the Bible says everything that you've done is going through the fire to see what's worth passing through into eternity. Your words will go through that. They will be held up. They will go through the fire. I can't add more weight than that. Take them seriously. And he goes on to say, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation or they can be your damnation. Take your words seriously. You are looking at a guy who is the product of the words that were spoken over him. I am looking at you. And in some measure, you are the product of the words that were spoken over you. The words that were spoken to you throughout your life. And I am very blessed. I know that. I often pray, God, don't let this be a stumbling block. Don't let my blessing be something that keeps someone else from hearing a truth or saying, well, he doesn't know what I'm going through. He hasn't lived the life that I've lived. I try with everything in me to be as empathetic as I can to each situation. To try to feel what people feel, to try to be as empathetic as I can when I bring a message. To not sit up on a pedestal and try to just give things, but try to tell you when something convicts me, but I am very blessed. And I can say this, I have the best parents in the world. Every day of my life, growing up, every single day they told me they loved me. Every single day they told me that I was special, that I was going to do something for God. I've had that bus. My mother, still almost every other Sunday, I still get a text, all right, from my mom that says, I know I said this last week, but that was the best sermon that you have ever preached. That was just the best. I know, but oh, it's just the... Praise God for mom, everybody, right? Praise God for that encouragement. I am blessed. And growing up, I had the best teachers, the best coaches, people who just spoke into my life. Sunday school teachers, I had the best. People who chose to speak into my life. And I had stupid times, right? But they chose to speak into my life. Chose to speak into me. And I'm a product of those words spoken over me. And I know some of you are hearing that this morning and you're thinking, you're going through your own life and you're thinking, well, that's not fair. I just want to speak. There is healing for you in Jesus' name. There is. No matter what someone spoke over you, no matter what was getting, they spoke in anger or they spoke just out of belittling or whatever it was that got spoken over and over and over, harsh words that were thrown. There is healing in Jesus' name. And then we're going to come through. If anything else, we're going to come through as people who are going to start to speak life to those around us. I saw one of those posters they put in walls, you know, to kind of in hallways that motivate or whatever. And it just said, be the one that you needed when you were younger. Be the one. We're going to become people who speak light and life. And those of you who you've had harsh words spoken to you. You've had words of discouragement spoken to you. You know more than anyone else what those can do. And you know more than anyone else what a good word, a word spoken of life and light that God has given into people's lives, what that can do. That's what we're going to become. We're not going to be as the world does it. We're going to change our way of thinking. We're going to change the way that we speak. We're going to start to speak life into our marriages, into our kids, into our relationships. We're going to speak it. It's going to become a habit. As fast as we would say those other words, we're going to begin to speak life. On Friday night, I kept my kids, right, all alone. My wife went to speak at the Spanish conference they had for the young ladies over at the Spanish church this weekend. So she went over there, left all the kids with me. God bless me. And Friday night, I had them, right? And it's just, I had enough Friday night, right, for like 50 sermons, all right? It's just one of those kind of nights. You understand what I'm saying? But it was fun. But at one point, we're playing with lightsabers. We have these little toy lights, and one of them got stuck. Little cheap toy, right? It wouldn't, it just had the big, wouldn't come out, and I couldn't get it out. And my 3-year-old, Liam, he just walked over, he took it from me, and he's got the perfect size little fingers, right, that he could just reach in there and just pull it out, right, unstick it, and he just pulls it out. It took me like 10 minutes. I'm trying to shake it and break it and do whatever I can do. And he just pulled, and I thought, this is the perfect moment, right? I'd been studying for him. I was like, this is the perfect moment. I'm going to speak affirmation. And I said, hey, Liam, that was so awesome. You did it. Daddy couldn't do it, and you did it. That was so amazing. I'm so proud of you. And he had just the biggest grin, ear to ear, right? Just chest stuck out. Like he's on top of the world. I'm thinking, best dad in the world. And I turn around and my 5-year-old Elijah is sitting on the piano bench and he is just bawling, crying, just sobbing, crying. Not because he saw a beautiful moment. Okay. He's just bawling. And I was like, Elijah, what's wrong? And he said, Daddy, that made me so sad. You didn't say that to me. And what I wanted to say was, well, you didn't unstick the lightsaber, right? But I didn't say it. Right, so now I've got him on my lap, right? Now I'm trying, I'm like, okay, what do my notes say about that, right? And I'm trying, I don't love Liam more just because, you know, he did that thing, but I'm proud of you too, and things you do, I'm trying. And you parents who have kids, you know, right? If you have more than one kid, you know this challenge. And finally he stops crying. I'm thinking, okay, best dad in the world, best dad in the world. And then my 9-month-old Hava fell off the couch and started screaming. And the night just went on, you know, just went downhill from there. It was just, right, I don't have any advice for that, right? You just lock the door and scream too. We start to speak affirmation. We start to have that habit of speaking life. In the third verse of the Bible, God looks at something that is dull and void, and he speaks. He speaks out his word, and he creates the world. I can't make it any more weighty than that. He speaks and creates the world. In the same way, your words will shape the world that you live in. Get that in you. Your words will shape the world that you live in. You don't like the world you're living in. Look how you treat the people around you. That's truth right there, all right? You can come up and, you know, fight with me afterwards. But you don't like the world you live in. Look at the way that you treat those around you. Look at the words that you see. And I promise you, if you have been hurt, I don't want to leave this point without that. If you have been hurt, if you have had things spoken of you, there is healing in Jesus' name. You are a product of those words, but there is healing. And Jesus wants to speak a new word over you. So I promise you, take the journey with us. We always say, go through these things, go through small groups, join some of these groups, do some of this stuff. Come. And I promise you, at the end of the journey, God has healing for you. You can be changed in that. But we want to change how our culture does. We want to change the way we speak to those around us. Amen, everybody? All right, so then what do we do? So instead of constantly focusing on the negative side of this, and there is a lot of the negative, I want to kind of focus on the positive. I want to give us things to do just quickly. Just things that you can do on your way home, things you can do walking out of the auditorium, things you can do at lunch today. I just want to give you just briefly some things that you can fix. Because you can fix your bad habit in a couple of ways. One is you can just try to stop it. You can just try to, but the better way maybe to fix your bad habit of words, the better way to fix it is to figure out, okay, then what am I going to say instead? What am I going to replace? I learned a long time ago, the best way to teach someone how to change something is not to just tell them, stop, but to give you something that you can do instead. So that's what I want to have in this last half of the sermon. I just want to give you things that you can do. I found this quote from the Irish playwright, George Bernard Shaw. I like this about communication. He said, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. That speaks to somebody this morning, all right? We think, oh, it's not necessary. We don't replace our bad words with it. We say it's not necessary to say it absolutely is. If I haven't added weight yet, I don't know what's going to do it. But it's necessary. And the word, if you want to write it down, the word for this is all about intentionality. Being intentional with the words that we say. Making sure that when we talk to someone, when we speak into our kids' lives, when we speak to our spouse, we're intentional in the words that we're saying. We're not just careless throwing out these things. And so when we had our marriage conference last week, the Ignite conference, just had a fantastic time. A lot of the breakout groups dealt with communication. And they touched on a few of these things. And so I kind of wanted to kind of bring them together and go a little deeper and give you some biblical stances for each one. And just give you seven things that you can say. Seven types of things that you can replace your speaking with. All right, I'm just going to give these quick and we'll give you the verse attached to them. Just to kind of change the way. And if you only grab one or two of these this week, if you only grab one or two that apply, that you can start to replace the words that you are saying, I think it will help. It'll make this the greatest week that you've ever had with the people around you. The first one is praise. Praise. And that's not the praise that we give to God. Only He is worthy of that praise. But this is, I'm going to find something good about you, some quality, and I'm going to praise that quality in you. I'm going to add value to you. I'm going to find something that is good, something that you do well. And I'm going to add value to you, to people. And I told you, I have had stupid times in my life. I have done some stupid things in my life. We got to get a little more distance between them before they become an illustration, all right? I have done some things, though, all right? But people chose not to speak that and chose to speak to the potential. So supposed to speak life to that potential in me. That's what we're going to become. That's what we're going to start to do. We're going to start to speak life into that potential. Look at Proverbs 25. It said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. So like solid gold apples in a bowl of silver. Something beautiful and valuable at the same time. And he says, words fitly spoken. Another translation says, aptly spoken. When we decide, okay, this is what you do well, I'm going to speak this to you like apples of gold in settings of silver. Adding value to people. You've heard us talk, if you've been around here a few weeks, you've heard us talk about the growth track. And we're starting that again August 5th, right after service. We'll have 101 one more time. If you want to find out, you want to find out about Victory, you want to get involved here, we have 101, 201. And we just lead you through the growth track. The last one is called Dream Team 401, the fourth week. And all it is about joining the dream team around here, just getting involved. So that's like you're greeting someone at the door, or you're playing a guitar or singing, or you're helping out in the different ministries. It's a way to get involved and start to use your giftings. In worship or in behind a camera or whatever it is that you enjoy and that God has made you to do. And we always want you to find your gifting. And I never try to tell somebody, okay, you need to be doing this because I want you to find your giftings. I never want to tell somebody, okay, I want you to find what you're good at. I'm going to break my rule this morning, all right? I'm going to, for once in this whole time we've done the growth track, I'm going to break my rule. And that is, if you're saying, okay, I'm looking around, I want to get involved, I've seen people doing stuff that I like already, and I just put me in, coach, I just want to get involved, I want to do something. All right, here is an area for you, all right, here's one for you. Get involved with our children and our students. So that is like go in the preschool and the nursery and the kids zone and our youth service that's meeting and get in there and not just to set up chairs, all right? That's not what we need you for. But what I want you to do is get in there and do what my teachers and my coaches and my parents, what they all did for me. And I want you to get in there and start to speak apples of gold in settings of silver. Start to speak life into these kids. Start to speak because the Lord knows what they're hearing. And even if you parents, you're saying it to them at home, words of life, God only knows what they're hearing at their schools and from their friends and from their teachers and from the garbage that's kind of bombarding them all the time. And so what I want you to do is get in there and start to speak words over them. Can you imagine you're sitting in a huddle of third grade boys or fifth grade girls and you're listening to their needs and their feelings and things that maybe have never been expressed. And then you look at them and you say, God believes in you. And I believe in you. And you're going to be a champion in the world and you're going to do things for the kingdom of God and you are going to be someone. Can you imagine them leaving out of there with their chest stuck up because they know that their God and their church believes in them? That's what I want you doing. I want you going in there and prophesying. I give you permission to speak that into their lives. Apples of gold into settings of silver. You want a place to get involved. That's it. Get in there and speak to them. Speak words of life to their potential. We speak praise. Let's just start to change the words that we speak. Get involved. The second one this morning, we're going to become people of thanksgiving. We're going to start in the way that we speak, the things that we say, we're going to be so grateful. So that's when you're at the restaurant this afternoon, you're having your lunch and your waiter who's already served a bajillion tables today already, right? And is juggling three jobs and trying to support it and doing all these things. You just stop and you say, hey, can I tell you, best waiter I have ever had. Best waitress I have ever had. Let me just tell you something. Your fries came out 2 minutes late. We're going to start being people of thanksgiving. Gratefulness. And you know what you do at the end? You take one of those cards we have out there, the blessing cards in the foyer. You take one of those and leave a God thank you tip. All right? You leave a big honking tip at the end of that because you're just grateful. We're going to become people of gratefulness. You just say thank you. I guarantee you, I wanted to kind of put this out to you. By the end of today, before you go to sleep tonight, say thank you 10 times. 10 different spots and see how the world around you changes. This is not something to put on a bumper sticker or something. I'm asking you, say 10 times today, say thank you. Not to the same person, right? Keep saying different places, not all at once. Say it 10 times and just see how your world changes before your head hits the pillow tonight. You can shape the world around you with the way that you treat people. And we're going to start to speak life. Proverbs 18 says the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You either eat the fruit of life or the fruit of death, depending on how you use your tongue. And then this next verse, this is the next verse, not by coincidence, next verse in the Bible. And he who finds a wife finds what is good. Amen, everybody. Amen. Receives favor from the Lord. So this after, honey, I just want to tell you what is so good about you. And when she falls on the floor, you pick her back up and you continue the conversation. It takes so little effort and has such value. I can't express that. It's amazing to me how little effort it takes to say thank you and the value behind it. Thank you. And here's the third one, all right, this morning, the third one, affection. We're going to start to express affection in our communication. And a lot of people have gotten to a place where they can't even say the words to other people. They feel like they've got to protect themselves. You feel like, well, if I say it, then they can hurt me. You're not protecting yourself. You're only hurting yourself by not being able to express affection. You're only hurting yourself by not being able to express that to other people. And I know it's difficult. I know sometimes guys among guys, you have to be able to, though. If you want to change your communication, terms of endearment, saying things that are affectionate to that person will change the relationship. I don't care what kind of relationship it is. You have to learn to show that. If you want one built to last, you have to learn how to do it. And you say, well, why? Why do I have to? Because God does. Verse in Jeremiah. It says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. I have loved you with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. You don't have to word it like this, but you tell your wife, I love you. I'm going to love you forever. I don't know what it is. After the marriage, we stop the pursuing. We start, at the marriage, we say all those vows and it's so fantastic. And then we just kind of let it learn to express affection. Love to express affection. And I want to do something this morning that I've looked forward to doing for a couple of months now that I've wanted to do. And that is, I want to look at all of you. And I just want to say something. And this is the truth. You can believe it or not. This is the truth. There is no one in the world that thinks or prays about you more than I do. There's no one in the world that thinks about you more than I do. That prays for this body, that just constantly, and I care about you with everything that is in me. I can't wait to go. We go to different conferences, and I can't wait to go and just brag on you guys. I get in those rooms with some pastors that talk about how they're beaten down by their congregation or by their position or by this or that or thing. And I can't wait to just brag on you. You are the most serving and generous people. And I've seen you, even in the last couple of years, I've seen you in tragedies and in destruction and different things rally around each other and in rebuilding and just be around. And I cannot be more proud of you guys. I honestly can't. And I talk about you every chance that I get. I love you guys. I don't know how else to put that to you. And I wanted just to say that. That the affection I feel for you. And I care, and I just want to, whatever I can do to build you up, whatever I can do to help you, there is no pride attached to that. Any way that I can, I want to help, I want to do, I want to just express that to you. And it probably doesn't hurt any of your feelings to hear it, all right? It's probably not hurting anybody's, hey, it's probably not hurting, all right? You start to express affection. You start to say these things. All right, let's keep moving this morning, all right? This is the next one, encouragement. Encouragement. That is, and that is, I'm going to find someone, anybody. I'm going to find somebody who is discouraged, and I'm going to change the way that I speak, and I'm going to encourage them. This goes with the other ones hand in hand. Bible says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it can benefit those who listen to the words that you're saying. So in other words, there are no neutral words. You're either building them up or you're tearing them down. And he says, let every word that comes out of your mouth, let there be nothing unwholesome, nothing that's going to tear them down, everything to build people up according to their needs. That's why every night I tell my kids, and they get tired of it. They say, you told us. Every night I tell my kids, I love you. You are the most special children in the world. You are the most special kids in the world. You're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. You're going to be warriors in the kingdom of God. You're going to reach people. You're going to do awesome things. And they're squirming, trying to get away. And I just hold them, right? Like a cat trying to get away. I just hold them. God loves you. You're going to be a blessing to people. God is going to use you. Every night I speak that. We got to begin to speak words of encouragement. Begin to speak life into them. Anybody as convicted as I am today, you got to speak. All right. Anybody? And here's the next one. Number five, kindness. Kindness. We have to start to create a space where people feel like, okay, I'm safe around you. Amen. That you're not just this top about to blow. That I can say what I'm feeling, or I can say what I've gone through. I have this safe space around you. Amen. I want that to be me around people. I want them to feel like, okay, you can come around me because I'm not going to lash out. I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to speak out like that. I can feel safe. The Bible says it here. It doesn't work anyways, right? Trying to lash out like that. But a gentle answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word, you're just adding to the mayhem. Gentle words are what we want to speak. We want to start to encourage. And we want to give them that safe space. Just in the fact that you get loud and get your way doesn't mean that you win. Just the fact that you can get louder doesn't mean that you win. We got to begin to speak words of life. And kindness. And the sixth one, this is truth in love. Because some people are saying, well, then how do you, it sounds like you're just gooey gooey all the time. You know, just how do you actually say anything that you need to say that maybe is uncomfortable to say? This is how you do it. You do it truthfully in love. This is how you do it. You speak the truth to them in love. So I'm going to tell you what is true. I'm going to tell you what is right. But I'm not going to say it in a way that's going to intimidate you into doing something. All right, that stops working at about age 3, right, or age 4. I'm gonna tell you what is the right thing to do, but I'm not going to try to shout it into you. I'm not going to try to intimidate you into doing something. I'm going to say it in a way that then gives you, in love, and gives you another way out, that then you say, okay, I want to do the other thing. And the verse for this, it says, instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like who? Christ. Growing every way more and more. We'll speak the truth in love. And John, it talks about him. It says that he spoke, he had truth and grace. So truth in that Jesus would tell the truth. He's not pulling any punches. But then grace, okay, then here's the way out. Speaking the truth, Jesus never glossed over the truth. He never ever went in somewhere and just kind of, okay, you know that. He always spoke the truth, but he always did it with grace. With an, okay, you want to change? Well, here's the way out. Here's the way. And I love this quote. I love this quote. It says, the truth without grace is just mean. Right? You're just mean. And true that, but grace without truth is meaningless. So it's not like, well, okay, you burn the house down. That's okay. Daddy still loves you. It's good. You know, we're, no. There is place for correction. There is place for that. But then it's truth with grace is medicine to them. Truth with grace. We're going to start to speak truth. We are speakers of truth. We are light in this world, but we're going to speak it with grace. We're going to speak it with love. We're going to say, okay, then you have done this, you have done, but here's the way out. Here's the Jesus who can forgive you, who can set you free. We're not going to try to intimidate people in anything. Anything you intimidate them into, you can intimidate them right back out. We're going to show them a better way. We're going to speak life to their soul. And here's the last one. And you can do some of, like I said, you can do these things on the way out of the auditorium. You can do them at lunch today. You can do them when you get home, when you collect your kids from children's church or the nursery, whatever. You can start to do these. And especially, I like this last one, and that's prayer. You don't have to wait for 21 days of prayer. You can start to speak it. You can start to pray in your own life. It's amazing how in the moment, I know some of you are uncomfortable with this, and maybe you just need to kind of grow in the moment with your spouse or with your kids or with your relationship or at work or whatever it is. In that moment, you say, okay, let's pray about this. Let's just take it to God. And you might have to learn to, you know, kind of work this habit into you where you just say, okay, let's pray right now for this. But I guarantee you, your world will change when you start to bring God into it. When you start to pray over everything. Without ceasing, you start to say, okay, let's just pray about that. Okay, let's just grab hands right now and let's just pray with your kids. Let's just pray right now. And you will have kids then who say, okay, let's just pray. Let's bring it before God. You have to work on saying it. You have to go to God in prayer. The verse is in Psalm 16. I want to read this. It says, I go to God before him. I go to God, I go to God, I go to God. This whole psalm is saying that up to this point. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You want all the other things, the other 6 points. You want to start to change the way you think. You go to God in prayer first. Let that be. Let that be us. Let's start to speak life into other people. Let's change the world around us in the way that we communicate, the way that we speak. And come on, let's all pray together this morning. As we end this morning, let's just bow our heads. Let's pray. And I feel like today God needs to first of all start to heal some people. Before we ever get into any of the other things or talk about anything else, I feel like God needs to heal some people in the way that you've grown up or the way that things have been spoken over you or the environments that you've been in and words that have been spoken at you or about you. And you feel like you're the product of that. And so I just want to pray first, before we go into anything else, I want to pray healing over that. That the healing process would begin. So Lord, I pray over every person this morning. God, who from their bosses or from their coworkers or just devastated by words from their spouses or from their families or their parents or anyone around them that has just, God, just demolished their world with their words. That you just begin a healing in their hearts. God, I pray over every person, Father, that has come in here just dragging in, Lord, because people have spoken so many negative things over them, that you begin to break those words off of them. You break those chains off of them, God, that they begin to hear words of life and love. That those of us around them can begin speaking that, and then we begin speaking them, Lord, to encourage them. That they can begin pouring into others. And come on, join me if you need to this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that you forgive us for words that we have said. Words that we wish we could have back. God, we ask you to forgive us. Come on, the blood of Jesus erases every careless word. The blood of Jesus, we plead over it. That you would make room in us, Lord, to begin to speak life and light. And then you would make room in that person, God, to forgive us. Father, we ask forgiveness for those words that we said. And Lord, we take responsibility for our words. Right now, Lord, as we bow our heads, we take responsibility for the words that come out of our mouth. That we live with intentionality. Father, you begin to give us that weight of responsibility that we don't treat them just as careless. But we speak intentionally into others' lives. We speak with life and light and thankfulness. And we begin to praise others and add value to others. We speak, Father, gold, apples, and settings of silver. Then we begin to change the ones around us in the words that we speak. I pray for myself, God, that you would begin, Lord, just use me this week. And you guys can pray that too. Jesus, use me this week to speak words of encouragement and life and praise into others. Now keep your heads bowed this morning, but listen to me, church. None of this is possible. None of this is possible under your own power. It's not points that you just write down and then say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. None of this is possible in your own power. But it says God will change your way of thinking and transform you, but it has to happen. And so this morning, if you feel far from God, if you haven't had that transformation in your life, if you've never done it, you've never asked God to change you, you've never asked him to save you, you've never pled the blood of Jesus over your life, or if you feel so far from him and you don't have that, you need that work to be done in your heart. If you feel that disconnect, you just feel so far from God, you are one heartfelt prayer away from the reconnection. And we all have our heads bowed, we have our eyes closed, but I just want to talk to you. If you feel far from God like that, you say, hey, I need to come to him for the first time, or you say, hey, I need to come back to God, you are one heartfelt prayer away from a reconnection. I don't care what anybody has spoken over your life. I don't care what anybody has spoken to you negatively or hurt you with words. God speaks that you are his child. And Jesus waits for you to run to him. And so if that's you this morning, if you say, hey, I want to reconnect, I want to have that connection, I want that transformation in my life. You know things aren't right between you and God. And you need to repent and come back to him and surrender your life. If that's you this morning, nobody's looking around, but if that's you, you say, I want that prayer, pray over me. I want to do that. I want that connection with him. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand, nothing like that. If that's you, if you want that reconnection, just right now, if that's you, just slip your hand up high. Thank you in the back. Thank you. That's you. You want to be included in that. Just raise your hand. And we're just going to pray with you this morning. Thank you. We're just going to pray with you. All right, slip your hands. We're going to pray with those three this morning. And if you're watching online or you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray this prayer, you got to pray it. The Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. You got to say it and you got to mean it. So we're going to pray with those three. But if you didn't raise your hand, you want to pray along. We're all going to say the prayer with you. Or again, if you're watching online and you want to pray this with us, we just want to say this prayer. I'm going to give you the words. I can't mean it for you, but I can give you the words to this prayer that you can pray. And God sees you. So come on, church, we're going to pray it with them. Just repeat these words. I'm going to give you the help with the prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Forgive me. I receive forgiveness. I surrender my life. Tell him that. I surrender my life completely to you. Change me. Live in me. Be my Lord. I'm going to live my life for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Father God, I thank you for those, Father, who just prayed that prayer. For the first time, God, or God, someone coming back to you, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin to be people, Father. People who live our lives and who speak our words with intentionality. Come on, stand with me as we pray this morning. I pray, God, that we begin to speak life and light into those around us. This week, God, as we go out, we begin to shape those around us with our words, with our praise, with our adding value to them. We speak, God, gold, apples, and settings of silver. You change the way that we communicate with our spouses, with our kids, with our coworkers, Father. We begin to change our world. You give us the transformation. You change our way of thinking, Lord. Give us new words to speak into people. Give us new words to speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray.